Open our Bibles once again at John chapter 15, and we're looking down from verse 9 to verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse 9 to verse 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. We'll just have a moment's prayer before we look into the Word of God. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what has went so far. We thank you for the singing of praises unto the Lord as we seek thy face in prayer. Now, Lord, we look to thee as we come to handle the Word of God. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, I would pray. Let thy word of free course, Lord, we would ask. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. In this verse 9, we see Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We think of God. Our catechism asks us in question 4, what is God? And the answer comes back, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. So we see here, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal. He's eternal. And so the Father and the Son coexisted. They have neither beginning nor end. We remember there are three persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. So we see the Father and the Son coexisted, and the Son is an expressed image of the Father. So we see here, when Jesus, God's Son, was manifest in the flesh, and walked on this earth. Three times, we remember, we read in scriptures that the Father could restrain himself and seem no longer to speak out about his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One time he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see God loved the Son with an everlasting love. Right from eternity past, he's God the Son. But even when he was manifest in the flesh, we remember that he was born without sin. Sin separates us from God. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was born without sin. And then also we read in that 33 and a half years of his life, he never committed a sin. Never was there a sin committed by Jesus. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. We think of this here, well, we can understand why God the Father loves him with that everlasting love. But also we can see, we understand why he was sinless. Also it made him that perfect sacrifice. Because we remember in the Old Testament scriptures, a sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish. And there Jesus was the one who knew no sin. And so that made him the perfect sacrifice for sin. And so in this, that was the ministry he was come to do, to be a substitute for sinners. And in this, it was well pleasing he come to serve the Father. And so the Father was perfectly pleased with him, right from eternity, right till he was manifest in the flesh in this earth. And when he died on the cross, yes, the Father turned his face away, but not because he still didn't love his Son. We remember he was looking on our sin when he looked upon Jesus on the cross. He was looking on our sin because Jesus bore our sins and his own body on the tree. So we see here the Father's love was an eternal and everlasting love. But then also we see when he took the punishment for our sin, it was because of love. And that love continued even after Jesus died on the cross. Because we remember, because he was the perfect sacrifice for sin, his body did not see corruption. So the third day he rose again from the dead. That was why, because it was the perfect sacrifice, that love continued on with the Father. And then now, whereas he ascended up into heaven, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And what's he doing there? Still serving for his people, ever living to make intercession for us. So we see this love that the Father had for His Son, and understandably so, for there was no reason why the Father would change from loving His Son. It was an everlasting love. But also then we see, wonder of all wonders. Jesus said in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Do you see this? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We are loved the same by the Lord Jesus Christ with an everlasting love. If we think of Jeremiah chapter 31 and the verse 3, the Lord has appeared of old unto me saying, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So you see, away back in eternity past, God set His love on a people. All through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though He hadn't meant to do it at this time, it was all, that love was set upon those that He chose to be in Christ Jesus. He had set His love upon them right from before the foundation of the world. He loved us with that everlasting love. So this is marvelous to think about us who fail so often, who sin so often, and even our rebellious nature before the day and hour the Lord drew us to Himself. He loved us with an everlasting love. And so we see here also there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 7. We go on, the Apostle Paul speaks of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How? In Christ. In Christ. So there we see we have these blessings through Christ Jesus. Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, an everlasting love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have this love, through the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of our sin, for we are sinful creatures, but because we're accepted in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to His riches of His grace. So we are blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is it an everlasting love, it's an infinite love. God is a Spirit infinite. What does that mean? No limits. No limit. Love for His Son is infinite. There's no limit to it. You imagine, we can understand that because it can't get any greater in measure. It can't get any less in measure, for because the Lord Jesus is continuing on the same, that same person. And so He loves him with an infinite love. So Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us without measure. Love for us who have received Him by His grace. So the question is, have you ever repented of your sin? Have you ever trusted in Christ as your Savior? If you have, then He loves us with an infinite love. There's a little children's chorus, I don't know how many of the young ones ever sang it here before. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. What does it say? It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. It's so wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. So see that love that Jesus has for us. We think of Jesus, even He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted of grief. When He came into this world, He's despised of those that He come to witness to minister to. He was despised of them. And all the sufferings He had to bear for our sin, He come and took that all upon Himself. Now, when we think of that, you know, there's some love we think of. Love can be greatly tested. There's many as a young couple fall deeply in love. But as they go through life, things change. And that love quenches, or that love can be completely gone. But why is that? Because things have changed, but not with the Lord Jesus Christ. Love with great trial can fall apart, but not Jesus' love. For Jesus, rather, that love sustained Him. When He was on the cross, that love sustained Him. Because if we look there at Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what sustained Him on the cross? For the joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? Well, if we look at Revelations, we see a great multitude that no man can number in heaven singing praises unto the Lamb. after the end of this age, at the end of the age, we see this, a great multitude. That was the joy that was set before him. That was the purpose he come on this earth. That's why he bore such agony in the cross. That's why he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because when he bore our sins, it was for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But then also, it's an unchangeable love. It's an unchangeable. The Father's love for the Son is unchangeable. He can never love him any more or less. And so it is the same with us. It's the same with us. We never can be loved any more or less. Yet the hymn writer says, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And Jesus' love for his people is unchangeable. If it depended on us, we would give him great cause not to love us. It would give him great cause not to love us. If it depended totally on us ourselves and the life we live, even after our salvation, he would give us great cause not to love us. For at times we fail him miserably. And we all, I'm sure, admit to that. There's times we fail him, we let him down. But Jesus' love is unchangeable. You see, in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 37 to 39, the Apostle Paul says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when we think of that, there's one thing we can be sure of, when that love is unchangeable, we never can be lost. Those of us that are saved can never be lost. Because of that, if we were lost, Jesus' love would be unchangeable. But Jesus' love is unchangeable. And so we can never be lost. Once we trust in him, we are saved, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. But Jesus goes on to say there in verse 9, he goes on to say, continue ye in my love. So what does he mean by this? To continue in his love. If we are loved with him with an everlasting love, with an infinite love, with an unchangeable love, how can we continue in this love? Well, when we think of the sun in the sky, in this part of the world, as often the clouds is there, that we cannot see the sun. But the sun is still up there shining away, though we can't see it. And so the clouds blocks out our view from the sun. But the sun's still there. But also there we think, when we abide in Christ's love, well, that sin doesn't separate us, that we're living close to him, we're abiding this love in the sunshine of his smile. But you know, we can feel that love. We can feel it. We abide in that love. We can feel that love towards us. But when we sin against him, when we break his commandments, then we grieve him. And so we do not feel that love the same. It's still there. But we do not abide. We cannot feel it just the same. Just the same as a child. If a child is wrong, well, the parents, if they're good parents, they will chasten the child. They will get it onto the right path. They will do what's necessary to teach it what is wrong. But you know, that child may feel grieved, and as parents maybe think they're angry with them that they don't love it, but they love the child just the same. They still love that child with that same love. Just the same as Jesus and the Lord and our God, they love us just the same. Even though sometimes we sin against them and they have to chasten us. In Hebrews chapter 12, once again in the verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Then verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. So we see as sons and daughters of the Lord, he chastens us for our good. But it doesn't mean he loves us any less. He does it for our good. It's because he loves us that he chastens us. So many times we may feel grieved, we may feel hurt, we may feel bad, we may feel sad because we've been chastened. But that doesn't mean the Lord loves us any less. But it's because we have allowed clouds to get between him and us. Well, then we do not feel that love. We're not abiding in that love. He says there, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as the hymn writer said there, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But then in John chapter 15 and verse 12, it shows us, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, we cannot love with an infinite love. We do not love with an everlasting love. We do not love with an unchangeable love, sadly, because we are finite creatures and we are very changeable. Some days we can be sad, sometimes we can be glad, sometimes we can be angry, sometimes we can be happy. But, you know, the Lord's shown us when he walked this earth, he gave us an example how we should love one another. We cannot love the same as the Father loves him and he loves us, because they're unchangeable, they're infinite, they're eternal. But the Lord gives us examples of how we can love one another. You know, it says there, he came to serve. He had a service of love. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto. He said he came to minister. He had a love for those around him. He went about preaching the word of God, that those would trust in him as Savior. He went about healing the sick. He went about feeding the hungry. He went about raising the dead. All these things he done, he come to minister unto the people, not for to be ministered unto. And remember, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his second coming, when he comes back, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. But when he come the first time, he come to minister unto. So that is a great example that he has taught us. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Remember, just before he was to go to the judgment hall, just before they arrested him, they went into the upper room to celebrate the Passover, and then the Lord's Supper was instituted. There then, at that time, what did he do? He got down to wash their feet and a towel with him. You imagine God manifest in the flesh doing such a thing. And when we remember that in a few days, all these 12 were going to desert him. They were going to flee with fear when he was arrested. One, when he rose again, was going to doubt him. Another was going to deny him, even with those in curses. And then also we had one that was going to betray him. But in all this, Jesus still loved them. He still loved them. And one would betray him. We may say to ourselves, it's not so easy loving such and such a one. You see, we're all different people. We've all different natures. And we say it's hard sometimes to love some. But let us remember, Jesus was perfect and he loved those around him that was imperfect. And so none of us are perfect. So what maybe we see in others can see in us. So we're to love others as Jesus has showed this, to minister unto others. So we're, that's what we're to do. We're to minister unto others just the same as Jesus done. Romans chapter 5 and verse 68. Romans chapter 5 verse 68. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now just think of it, while we were yet sinners, you know, those of us that were chosen in Christ, some of us maybe were saved at a very young age. But many of us rebelled against God for many, many years. I was 35 years old before I come to the Lord. And I think of the grievous sins I had committed against him all them years. And yet, he showed his love towards me. And even from that time to now, we cannot say we were without sin. At times, often we had to go and confess our sin, knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we fail him often. Jesus was patient with imperfection. He suffered imperfection as he went about. Yes, he seen the wrongs they done, but he suffered it. He was patient with it. Are any of us perfect? No. And so he suffers us. And what we call the Lord's Prayer, we think of the Lord's Prayer. Part of it is, forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts or our sins. And what does it go on to say? Is we forgive those that trespass against us. So when we ask God to forgive us our faults, our failings, our sins, our trespasses, then it says we are to forgive others as we expect to be forgiven of God. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 to 23. Then came Peter to him, this is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant. So we see, when Peter thought he was saying good 7 times, the Lord said unto him, 70 times 7. Now that's not an exact amount. He was just showing an example how often we are to forgive one another. We are to forgive one another. And so there we see in that, there was I remember a program on TV, and there's one, and she's a judge on TV, and these ones come on, and it's live on television. I don't know where it's live, it's maybe recorded, but it's all shown on television. But there was these two come on, and you know, they were neighbours, but they went to the same church. Now I can't say whether they were believers or not. It said they went to the same church. I don't know whether they were born again Christians or not. But one, he had two dogs, and one was the master dog, the other wee one, it done what it was told, so to speak, by the other dog. But this man was going on holidays next door, and he had a dog, and he didn't like the idea of paying for 2 weeks to keep the dogs in the kennels. So what did he do? He asked his neighbour about this, and the neighbour suggested, I'll keep the dog free of charge. Well, that was all right, but the agreement was, keep his dog away from the dominating dog on the other side. But he was just going to the airport. What happened? This man fed them, and he kept the two dogs apart, but he didn't realise the neighbour's dog would come to try to eat the other dog's food. So it was attacked, and of course, it had to go to the vet to get surgery. Well, then what happened, they had to ring the man. He was at the airport ready to go on his holidays. He decided to go on ahead anyway. But he went on his holidays, so they had to have a place got for the dogs to stay in. And so that was all right. When he come back then, he wanted this to go to court. He blamed the man for letting the dog getting attacked. The man that was keeping the dog free of charge, he wanted the expenses for the veterinary bills, but also because he went on his holidays. He wanted him to pay also for the 2 weeks that the dog was in the kennels, which I think was crazy. But the thing was, they brought this all to the public eye. Now, I don't know whether they were believers or not, but they brought it all to the public attention. It was seen whatever parts of the world this is watched in. And I felt it very sad if they were believers, that they couldn't get together in the church and someone make decisions on what the best way to go about this was. But one good thing about it, and I was glad to see at the end of it, it showed them and they shook hands with all at the last, which was good. It didn't leave a rift between them. At the last, they shook hands. That was the one good thing about it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 5 to 8 we read. Or sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 to 8. Peter says, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we look at that, going up the rung of a ladder, so to speak, the one before the last, as we progress in the ministry of the Lord and the Lord and the walk with the Lord, brotherly kindness was the one before the top, and the top one was charity or love. So we see here Peter was showing the importance of that. But if you look over the page from where we were there in John chapter 15, if you just look over the page to John chapter 13, John chapter 13 and the verse 34 and 35. The Lord's speaking similar to this group of people at this time too. Verse 34 and 35 of John chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. So we see here the benefits of this love. You know, when we are looking for someone that has got saved, we will look for a change in their habits, those old vices they were caught up in. We are looking to see them go away. We're also looking at their character. Maybe some have a real bad temper or some other problem, and we're looking for that. It doesn't go away immediately, but we're looking for the Lord as the sanctification works keeps going on. We look to see a change in that character. But we also want to see a change in the company they keep. If they're going to the wrong places with the wrong people, we're looking for the company they keep. All these things. believers are looking for, and the world. Those outside the church, they are watching our every move, and if they see false, they are quick to catch on it. And so we see here, but the Lord Jesus Christ, rightly so, we should be looking for all these things. For the Apostle Paul says, old things have passed away. All things have become new. The things we once loved, now we hate, and the things we once hate, now we loved. But the Lord Jesus says, he says, all men shall know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. He was showing the greatest example of all. If you love one another, that's where men, all men's going to see that we are his disciples indeed. So, see, it's Spurgeon said, no sermon can be so effective as true love for Jesus and the brethren, for the brethren and sisters in Christ. There's no sermon, he maintained, could be so effective to believers or to the unsaved alike as there could be of saying a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the brethren. Are we patient, we ask then, with imperfection? So we look at 1 Corinthians, finally, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a well-known passage. And we're looking at verse 1 to verse 5. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass, or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity falteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So we see here, Paul here, he was speaking to the church at Corinth. Now they had many problems. They were bringing all her to court as well. They were doing many different things that was wrong. They had been blessed with some of the greatest gifts we see in the churches at that time. They were blessed with many gifts. But still with all that, old nature was very prevalent in them. You see, Paul was speaking there. Paul shows that they, without love, it was nothing. No matter what gifts they had, though they give their money to the poor, though they were given their body to be burned, though they could prophesy, no matter what else they could do, if they hadn't love, it was nothing. They were to have no envying. They weren't to envy one another. Happy when others were honored. They were wanting all the glory to themselves. And when we think of the gifts that are given, we have nothing to glory in. Because a gift is given, it never was our own. We never obtained it of ourselves. It was given by God to us. And we see here, then we should be happy when others are honored to the glory of God. Then kindness, they weren't showing that great kindness to one another. Knowing anything that's good is of God. And so that should have been in their mind all the time. They weren't to be rude to one another, but to be kind, tender-hearted to one another, loving one another. D.L. Moody said, God hates great things in which love has no motive, but delights in little things that are prompted by love. I'll say that again. God hates great things in which love has no motive, but delights in little things that are prompted by love. Maybe here today, in closing, maybe there's someone here today and you don't know yet of that love of Christ. You know, it's the most wonderful thing. There's no joy like the joy of sins forgiven. There's no greater peace than knowing it as well with your soul. But you maybe have rejected God's offer of mercy. Jesus in his love has sent his Holy Spirit to this earth to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Maybe often you've convicted that you need to be saved, that you're a sinner, but you keep rejecting that love. Well, my friend, today, if God was to cut you off today, you would never, ever, ever in all eternity know that love of God. Because, you see, heaven was, the people are of God are a prepared people for a prepared place. God has prepared a place for his people, and so they will go there. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you continue to reject God, if you were to continue to reject his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then if you were today, even this very day, you would be cast out into outer darkness. You will be separated from God's love forever, for all eternity, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But God does not wish it so. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you have rejected that offer maybe many times when the Spirit has been striving with you, why not today close in with that offer of mercy? Because tomorrow could be ever too late. I just pray today the Lord will bless His word to each one of our hearts, even for His own name's sake, even to believers and unsaved alike, that the Lord will bless, and even when man's voice is silent, that He will speak on with that still small voice. We'll just close our meeting in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Thy precious word. And Lord, we thank You that You do love those of Thine with an everlasting love. And Lord, we do thank You, Lord, even for that love. We that do not deserve it, hell-deserving sinners, are loved with that love, infinite love, eternal love, that unchangeable love. And we thank You for this, Lord. But Lord, if some are here today yet know Thee not, we pray that they will close in with that love. They will know and feel that love. They will trust in the Saviour of sinners. Lord, we do pray now, as some may have to go at this time, take them to home in safety. Lord, we pray You'll bless the food that's provided here, that You'll bless us in our time of fellowship before the next meeting. And Lord, in everything Thy great name would be exalted and glorified. Lord, we just thank You for everything in this day. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy towards us. We thank You for that great work You done on Calvary's middle tree, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In our place condemned He stood, sealed our pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Lord, we just pray now, Lord. Just close us in with Himself and bless us at this time. For we ask all these things, giving thanks. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.